Rock the Garden is tomorrow, coming up here at the Walker Art Center. If you haven't been, it's absolutely fantastic. Headliners this year, including Nathaniel Rateliff, The Night Sweats, Slater Kinney, and our next guest from the band Low, Alan Sparhawk, is kind enough to join us here to talk about coming into Minneapolis, playing the Walker and Rock the Garden. Alan, thank you very much. I appreciate the time, my friend.
Hey, no problem. Beautiful day. I'm looking forward to it.
Although, I was reading the interesting article from the Star Trib about you guys coming back down here. It does sound like there was a controversial performance last time you here, I think it was in 96.
Yeah. We were asked to come play, and it was kind of a rainy day. Our set time got kind of cut short, and we thought at the last minute, let's do this special thing. We thought we'd play, and we played one song for about 27 minutes.
Do you know how to waltz, right?
Yes, Uncle Dino waltz, yeah.
You know, it was interesting. Here's the thing is, I mean, first of all, you were obviously dealing with weather. But you're not 38 Special playing Moon Dance Jam here. You're no. Low playing the Walker, one of the premier art, museums on the planet. You took a risk with this. I was reading Philip Byther's rebuttal to the criticism, and I agree with him wholeheartedly. It's like you went out there, you took a chance, and you did something very unique, which it was artistic, and I think that that's the way you should have done it.
Well, it was kind of a spur of the moment thing. It was really interesting to see all the reactions, all the people who were either thought it was cool or were nervous. There were people who were afraid they were going to lose their jobs there for the first 2 minutes after we got done. It was fine. Yeah, like you said, it's an open event, and it's kind of a whole afternoon of music. It's on the grounds of an art gallery, so yeah, it's kind of spontaneous. Honestly, it really, you know how it is. Sometimes it only takes a few voices going, hey, what's going on here? And it sounds like a bigger crowd, but I don't know. It started a discussion, I guess, and whatever, but I don't know. We're looking forward to it.
I'm with you 100%, because can I tell you how many times I'll come on this show and I'll talk, and I talk politics a lot, and I'll have someone come and say, why didn't you talk about this? Why didn't you talk about Peruvian goats, Matt? Huh, Matt? Why not about Peruvian goats? And you're like, I didn't know I needed to. And so it's you're if a person goes out there expecting something specific, I don't know. I mean, that's not your job is to necessarily do that. You're there to perform, and you're there to do it, and put your music out there. But it's sure. you're not exactly, it's like I said, it's not something where you're, going out there and, doing a Styx reunion or something like this. You're going out playing a unique performance. And I think rolling with the punches, the unique situation, the unique time of the day, I think it does give you some idea there. I mean, at what point did you guys look at each other and say, okay, since we had to scrap the set list, what do we want to do here?
Seriously, like 10 minutes before we went on, we thought, hey, let's do this one song. And we haven't played it for a long time, but let's do it. This seems like a unique moment. And there's definitely a balance. I think there's a balance. Certainly, as an artist wants to deliver and kind of make it worth people's ticket price, and there's some expectations there, and then there's some openness, and some freedom to surprise people and maybe push their expectations. But honestly, those moments happen when you kind of find that right balance and push one way or the other a little bit. You can't just whole hog kind of burnt out a situation, but I don't know, every once in a while the right edge is presented in front of you, and you push it a little bit.
Mimi made me laugh out loud. I mean, I laughed when I said, she said, maybe we should start this next set with the same song. That is that mwah, magnificent. I hope you guys do. That would be great.
Oh, she is a darker sense of humor than I do even.
Congratulations. And hey, what you guys have gotten. It's interesting. I was reading about the development of that album, and you had written a lot of the songs. So it wasn't like it was like a band like Dury who wrote a lot of stuff while they're in the pandemic, cluster. But what you guys did was something which I'm actually fascinated when it comes to artistic personalities, comedians, painters, musicians, is that you had the opportunity to basically, with the live streams you're doing, you'd written a lot of the artists, a lot of the songs, you basically were able to play them and refine them doing the live streams for basically a year and a half.
Yeah, that was really key to developing the record. Even though the record sounds very different from the way we play live, it was really kind of vital for us to know the songs, present them in front of people. And there's something really kind of special that happens when you've kind of get to a point where you're like, okay, we're going to play this in front of people, or even if it's just for a few friends. Sometimes, traditionally live, if we're working on a new record, if we have a show, sometimes we'll work those new songs in, try them out, get a feel for them. There's something about that first time you play them in front of people. It's like taking something that's two-dimensional and turning it into something three-dimensional, and it sort of receives a soul, and it, I don't know, it's just a lot easier to go in and record it. There's a confidence that you get that really helps with the recording if you can kind of try it out. So yeah, we during the pandemic, we would do these live Instagram shows once a week, and we were able to kind of work through the songs and be ready to go in the studio and sort of do it efficiently.
Did it help you when it came to whatever song, if it does, did happen to you, saying, okay, we got to scrap this because this is not working. We need to shift this song around a little bit and make this sound better. I mean, sometimes I think there's artists that it becomes hard because you do get used to playing something for a while. Did you have that moment where you're like, you know what, this is not working as it is. We need to fix this.
Yeah. That is a struggle. You'll kind of get down a road sometimes that you'll kind of form some perception of, okay, maybe this is supposed to go this way, or maybe this is going to sound like this in the studio. But man, I'll tell you, nine times out of 10, if you get too far down that road with one song, you're sure enough, you're either going to go in and it'll end up being either disappointing, or you'll end up, like you said, reaching some point where you realize like, no, I'm completely off. We need to turn a corner and go in a different direction. And usually that's the trick that you need. Sometimes you have to wring it out and and know it, and then kind of destroy it in front of yourself to then rebuild it and see what it really needs to be. And I don't know that. Yeah. It's funny. Time and time again, we'd go in, you'd have a couple songs, you'd have a handful of songs, maybe have a couple, you think, okay, this one's going to really be cool, or this one's going to go like this. And nope. Usually it's that last minute song that you wrote right before you went in that ends up being the one that's the most successful, or the one that you feel you're most happy with. But yeah, every part of the way you gotta take as a creative challenge. You can't control too much. You gotta keep your mind open, especially recording. You'll be a lot happier if you look for surprises and not.
And I really love More. I think, More is a quick little song, but it's very rewarding. I love the sound of that.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That was a surprise. That's definitely sort of contrary to our normal sound, but yeah, short and sort of intense being attacked by a synthesizer and MIM.
Yeah. Do you feel is your most polished album, considering how you were able to approach it?
Oh, I wouldn't say polished. I guess when I hear polished, I think that you spend a lot of time kind of really refining, get everything really perfect and softening the edges and making sure everything kind of has an easy swallow. But no, I don't know. We usually work pretty quick and spontaneous. We'll have some ideas and kind of throw them around. Sometimes it takes a few sessions before we kind of find a couple sounds that seem to be the light at the end of the tunnel, and then we just kind of dive in. Yeah, I don't know.
Complete. Maybe complete's a better word.
Yeah, complete. Yeah, complete. I don't know. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I guess every record we do, we usually feel pretty satisfied by the time we turn it in. We've gone through a very long process of like, is this good? What are we doing? Okay, this is good. Okay, yep, this is finished. And okay, we've surprised ourselves, and then you kind of roll it out. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess so. I mean, people responded. I think because of the record we had before this one, I think people kind of knew, like, okay, something weird might be coming here. And I think when it sort of did that and then went beyond, I think that sort of was the key.
I think that's the growth of an artist. I mean, I think the easiest thing, and this is not being necessarily critical. I mean, there's a lot of people that have success making an album that sounds a lot like the last album. I think that when it comes to, and as I look at, you know, Low, I look at bands that you know, really are striving, they kind of put that artistic value back into it. And we are changing human beings. You're a very different person than you were 20 years ago. And so, and so henceforth, I think that it's natural. I don't think it is natural to have the same song over and over and over again. I think it is important to have change. And I think that if you can get that developed within your art, I think that shines through.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, I've always looked up to artists that evolved and pushed themselves and, you know, took some chances, maybe even upset their fans a little bit every once in a while, but I don't know. Yeah. But then, hey, AC/DC is great too, you know.
I like a good AC/DC song. Or, you know, there's a lot of you know, Nickelback. Hey, you guys, you can't question the success. They're very popular. They got a lot going on there. By the way, Alan Sparrow joining us. Low is at Rock the Garden tomorrow. You're back on the road. As a matter of fact, not only are you doing this show, you're going on tour with Death Cab for Cutie coming up this fall. It's got to be nice to be able to say to yourself, you're going back at it. You're getting on the road.
It does. Yeah. It was, a couple of years off was weird. I mean, anybody doing something that you love that was also kind of making a living and suddenly that gets pulled away from you, it's hard, you know, and there's a lot of people in that position and stuff. So, I don't know. Yeah. It feels good. It felt good to get out and actually earn a couple dollars and then see our fans and see friends that we haven't seen for a while that we were so used to seeing so often. And but busy year, and hopefully we get through without too many crazy kinks. There's always something, you know, vehicles and flights and tracking things down stuff. So
finding equipment,
it's a wild ride. yeah, finding gear.
You
getting there on time.
There, as you're coming back to Rock the Garden, one of the things that's unique this time is you're getting to curate one of the stages. And okay, so you get asked to do this if for you yourself. Is it one of those things where, hey, you need to find a few bands? It's like this person, this person, this person. Or are you going back home and saying, okay, here's my list of 40. I got to weed this down to a few. How does that work for you?
Yeah, it's about a list of 40, you know, because, you know, between being around a while, touring a lot, and also, you know, being part of a local scene, you know, we have a lot of friends and stuff. Yeah, the list is large, and you try to whittle it down, and you know, luckily you can whittle it down to like 6 or 8, and then it's up to the Rock the Garden people to kind of figure out what's available. So we didn't personally let down all of the possibilities, but we had to let down many. So it was kind of a hard take. But Divide and Dissolve is a band from kind of a mix of United States and Australia, and we've actually been touring with them. A very intense band, in many ways opposite of us, but in many ways very similar. And then Dame Funk is a kind of a DJ producer artist who just, I don't know, it's funk. We saw him play at a festival a couple of years ago, and it just really kind of blew our minds and stuck in the back of my mind. And so when it came up, it was definitely on the list.
It does. It must be nice too to be part of a concert like Rock the Garden, where you are getting a really diverse group of acts in here. It's not all theme night. You know what I mean? It's you definitely are touching on a lot of different genres.
Yeah. Well, I think I don't know. I think those are that's a good thing that's been going on more recently. I mean, a person could definitely make an argument from, you know, years past. There's definitely a lot of these festivals and music things get filled up with a certain type of band and a certain type of people and stuff. So it's better that things are more diverse, and we're seeing sort of more of the real spectrum of artists and possibilities out there. And I mean, we're definitely glad to be still part of the game and stuff. But there's just, I don't know, there's a lot of great stuff out there, and it's an honor to be part of it.
I kind of get the impression you guys just like making good music. You like what you're doing. You like being expressive. Here you get some, you're getting a lot of attention though. Rolling Stone, best of 2021. Talk a little bit about that. I mean, was that expected in any capacity?
No, no. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. No, I mean, you make records, you do the best you can. And you know, every once in a while, there's little breaks. Someone pays attention a little bit, and yeah, it's nice. We've had a lot of little lucky things, you know, for being a small band. We've run into odd things, you know. You know, we've done some shows with Radiohead. We've played with this and that. We've been on radio shows and been in countries that we thought, you know, we'd never even see. And I don't know. It's weird. We've been given some great opportunities, and definitely the key is that we've been able to do it for this long. You know, I mean, I think any artist that kind of been given this opportunity to keep creating, I think would take it seriously and do the best they can, and would evolve and would see things around them that they can bring along with them if they can, you know.
I love the fact that you also have just permeated into Duluth. I mean, it's. I think of Low, I don't think of Minnesota, I think of Duluth. And you guys, you've stayed true to your town up there, and it's kind of, it's nice because it gives the community a definitive feel. And I think that is something that it's, you know, a lot of bands I think will leave and go to the nearest large market or go to New York or LA. And here you guys, you know, you've stayed true to your roots, and I think that's fantastic.
Well, Duluth was pretty great. I mean, Mim and I grew up in way northern, northwest, rural Minnesota. So coming to Duluth was was a big jump for us, and so it felt good. And I don't know, once the band got rolling, it just seemed like a good place to keep home base. We have family here, and there's, like you said, there's a good scene, and I don't know, the underdog the underdog fight. Vibe suits us.
Look forward to, I'll see you tomorrow. I'm heading over to Rock the Garden. I look forward to watching your set. Thank you very much. I appreciate the time. Congratulations on curating the one stage. Rock the Garden, once again, is going to be happening tomorrow at 2:30, begins at 2:30 outside the Walker Arts Center. Tickets are still available, by the way, at rockthegardenfestival.com. That's rockthegardenfestival.com. Alan Sparhawk from Law. Hello, Alan, thank you very much. I really appreciate the time. Thank you very much. All my best, and congratulations on the tour this fall, too. All my best on that as well.
Hey, thank you. Thank you very much. We've been very lucky. Everybody have a great day and a great evening. Peace.
Peace. Low, Alan Sparhawk, kind enough to join us.